ജയമേതൈഷപാദബ്രഹ്മസപരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാനന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ഗോ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ ഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത് പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാത്തേഷഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ നാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതഗൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണ സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിവേ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം മാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവാഹ്യനോ വിരഹകാദരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേദുക്തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിവാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരവേഗം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയം ഉദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കുനിദാതൃദാനനെന്തോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേർ മധുരിന്ന കണികാഭികാഭികാവീ നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ
വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസം ഹരികതോ ഗീതം പുനാതി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേഷ മനിഷം സ്തുതി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധി പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർ ഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേ വസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണദടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈ വേദൈർ സംഗപദേ ത്രമ ഉപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണേ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ
So yesterday when we were talking about the story of Puranjana Vakhyanam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been spoken by Sri Narada Maharshi to Prachina Brahis, that's what we talked yesterday. As I said before, that the in various places in the Srimad Bhagavatam you'll find this, the way Sri Shuka Brahmarshi wants to convey the message to the audience or to the listeners, the katha part is going on And in the middle of that, you will suddenly find Shuga Brahmarshi coming out with a heavy statements. Just like yesterday we saw that when we were talking about Chitraketu's story, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see yourself these verses. The Chitraketu, as I mentioned before, that story of Chitraketu, which is famous in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the sixth canto, that he had no children. And Angiras Maharshi came to talk to him. Angiras has told him that this is your prarabdham, that you are not meant to have children in this lifetime. And so when he said that, unfortunately, Chitraketu could not listen to it. He found it very, very difficult to accept that. This is what we have to understand, that when we are listening also, it's the same problem, that something already in our understanding, if something is fixed, then it is difficult to break through that barrier. Even if you hear hundreds of times, it won't work. That is what exactly what happened to Chitraketu. It is called in the Shastram Anya Abhinivesham. Anya Abhinivesham means a barrier inside which we have built up due to some reason, whatever that may be, which is our Purva Vasana or Prarabdham, that has come in that form and not allowing the real message to get in and blocking from inside. We all have that. This is why we say that between the, yesterday as we discussed, between the waking state and the dream state, where is the difference? Difference is this, that we think that waking state is real. And we think dream state is unreal. How did this come to us? Shastram does not agree with that at all. Shastram is constantly hitting us with this understanding that waking state is much more of a dream state than the actual dream state itself. This is how it is. Krishna has spoken this in the Bhagavatam. All great acharyas have confirmed on that. In spite of that, when it comes to waking state, we are helpless, is it not? So, you can see how this happens. This has happened with our Chitraketu also. When Chitraketu was listening to Angiras Maharshi, Angiras says to him, it didn't take very long. After the whole story, if you read through, story is going on in its own way. The Chitraketu refused to agree with Angiras, and Angiras understood that it was no point in talking to Chitraketu about it. Because Chitraketu won't listen. So what he told Chitraketu was, alright, all what you want to have is a son, isn't it? You can have a son. But only thing is that this son will give you happiness and he will give you distress also at the end. Chitraketu didn't hear that. He didn't want to hear it, so he didn't hear it. He only took the first part of it, and accepted that the son was born. And you know the story, Kridadyuti, his wife, they performed a sacrifice. And from that, what they call it as the Charyu, the one Havisana, that was given to Kridadyuti, who was his favorite wife, and she had a baby. And because of the situation in the wives, what Chitraketu had, they poisoned this baby and the baby died. And then Angiras Maharshi is coming again to the palace, knowing well that Chitraketu will be ready now to listen to the message. And that is why, you look at that verses, you will see there, Angira Vacha, in the 6th canto, 15th chapter, Angiras Maharshi is saying, it only took 4 or 5 verses for Angiras to get the message through to him, to Chitraketu. It didn't take very long. But, if we read those verses, even million times, it won't get into our head. Why is it like that? All what Chitraketu is saying to him is that if you look at the verses from 22nd onwards, or 21st, you can say that he says, Tadaiva de param jnanam dadami graham agada jnatva anyabhinivesham te putrameva dadamyaham. Chitraketu is saying here that I came to this palace before with the idea of giving you the knowledge of the self, transcendental knowledge. He says, Jnanam dadami graham agada. I came for that purpose. But, jnatva, knowing that,
Anyabhinivesham te, because you are under this Anyabhinivesham, te putrameva dadamyaham. Anyabhinivesham means being fixed in something from where you are not able to move your mind. You are not able to adjust yourself with that. You are not able to listen to anybody. You are fixed in your mind. You can call it in a sort of stubbornness inside. Te putrameva dadamyaham. And then he says, adhuna putrinam tapo bhavadevanubhuyade evam dhara griharayo vividhai aishwaryasam vadaham. That bhavadevanubhuyade evam dhara griharayo. He is explaining to the king, to Chitrakedu, that this wife, home, and all opulences, everything, what does it mean? What does it all mean? He says to him, shabdadayascha vishayaschala rajya vibhudaya mahi rajyam balam kosham vritya amatya suhurajana. This is the king's situation. King has got all these things, great opulences, friends, society, all kinds of things, power, and he says, sarvebi shurasene me shoka moha bhayartidaha gandharo nagara prakhya svapnamaya manorathaha. That's all he said to him. 3-4 verses, that's all. And Chitrakedu got the message. But we read it so long and nothing is happening. Why? This is where what we call it as nididhyasanam. In the Shastram they call it as nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means what is spoken in the Shastram, how we analyze it, how we take it. Everything will not be said in the Shastram. Even if you read the books many times, it won't happen. Even if you hear it, it won't happen. Unless we ourselves take that initiative to reflect on it. When we don't do that and we haven't got that nature in us, then it becomes really difficult. For example, here it says, Svapna dvaita vadeva jagratam avidvaitam mano matrakam. These Vedantic principles, like Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita also, that sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha vedescha sarver hameva vedyo vedantakrit. Vedantakrit means this Vedanta philosophy comes from Krishna himself. Vedantakrit, he is the compiler of the Vedanta. So, swapna dvaidavameva jagratmami dvaidam mano matragam mithyetyeva vihaya sachid amala swandega rupasmyaham. This situation with swapnam and jagrat, it baffles everybody, is it not? That this is so difficult to break through, this barrier of swapnam and jagrat, waking state. For example, you'll see here, in swapnam, in the dream state, we have seen many, many things. We have seen many, many things. When we wake up and look at it, there is nothing there. There's nothing there. It is all gone, isn't it? So, similarly, in Vedantam also, he says that whether you can accept it or not, on the waking state, whether you can accept it or not, that's another question. But Vedantam is saying to us that there is no difference between waking state and the dream state. Waking state and the dream state. And that is what it's saying there also. Svapnam, svapna dvaidava deva jagratam abhi dvaidam manomatragam. This is one of the Prakarana Grantham statement it is. At the moment you are thinking there are so many things existing here. Shastram is saying it's manomatram. Manomatram means it's due to the presence of the mind that you are feeling the existence of so many things. Krishna also says in the same thing in the Bhagavatam, vidhi maya manomayam, maya and mind. That's creating this variegatedness in the creation. So, it is due to the mind that we feel this problem of the reality of this waking state. Mind is convincing us the waking state is real. And that is our Vedantam will not agree with that under any circumstances because it's coming from the mind. So, these analyses will not be done in the Shastram. This is left to us to accept that. The statement from the Vedantam is because it is coming from the mind, they cannot accept that the world is real. Well, it's not real. Now, I'll tell you why it is spoken like that. Because when does the vacant state come? There are certain explanations available in the commentaries. For example, when your mind wakes up, that is when the waking state comes. Is it not? When the mind wakes up, the waking state comes. When the mind goes away into deep sleep state, the waking state goes. Waking state goes away. So, in the deep sleep state, when everything gets dissolved, mind is dissolved, and Jagrat or waking state is dissolved as well. So, Vedantam's position is, if this vacant state, the so-called waking state which you are saying it's so real, why does it not exist in the deep sleep state? Why is it not existing inside us? But we are swearing on that, saying that it is the only real thing, the real world, we say. Isn't it? So, this is the difficulty that tasmin minashte, when the mind wakes up, everything vijrumbhanade, everything vijrumbhanam happens. Vijrumbhanam means everything else associated with the body, associated with the world, associated with every family, everything comes in at that moment. So, therefore it is said, it is manomatram. It is purely a product of the mind, product of the mind. So, swapnyam daidava devam. So, satta chitta, this is the nature. Satta chitta amalam, nirmalam. Because chitta means consciousness. And amalam means pure. Amalam means pure. So, our swarubam, our pure identity, is a satta and chitta and anandam, is it not? That means eternity, bliss and knowledge. There, in that satta, that is pure, and when we stay in a, say for example in a dark room, the only thing what we know is about our own existence, isn't it? Awareness of our own existence. That's the only one thing what is real as far as Shastram is concerned. Nothing else is real. Mind is not real. The world is not real. Now, there is a reason why in the Vedantam it is spoken in that way, why Krishna has spoken that in the Ekadasha Skandham also. So, when you say that, this awareness which is making our existence as real, that is the only real side of it. That means that my awareness that I am existing now, I am existing all the time in waking state, dream state, deep sleep, everywhere. So that awareness is what Vedantam calls it as real and not the world as real. Not the world as real. And chitta is that thing, when you say satya chitta anandam, that chit shakti is the one which gives this expression of the reality of the world and make us to accept it that way. If chit shakti is not there, chit shakti won't give us this understanding. Chit shakti makes us to think that everything else is existing. Or example, this awareness inside. Where is everything happening? It's all happening in the awareness. Is it not? For example, we have our own existence we are aware of. Somebody else existing. How do I become conscious of that? Because of this power of the awareness, chit shakti inside. Chit shakti gives the value to it. So, when we understand that every living entity in this world is Atma, nothing but Atma, who is present there, and everything you see outside Atma, not in relationship with the Atma, Shastram is saying to us, it cannot be accepted as real. It's a very difficult subject in the sense that due to our conditioning, and due to our education, whatever way we have been educated, it is exactly the opposite way that Vedantam is taking it. For example, they say here that just like you see the water in the mirage or in the desert, when you see similarly, that when you get there and look at it, there is no water there. It's only an illusion that it has created inside our mind, that water existing there. So, Nyatva Tektamadan Mahodadiriva. When we are saying these things, that this is world is false, it's not real. And it is similar to the water in the desert. When Vedantam is saying all these statements, actually Vedantam is not interested in the world. He's not interested in the world. The intention is not that. The intention is this, that if you give your attention to the world, if you put all your attention into the world, then it will create a kind of dullness in our head. Do you know what I'm saying? That if you put all your attention into the world, it creates a dullness in the head. And once that dullness comes, that the purpose of that is that somehow or the other your full attention or complete Shraddha, Vedantam wants to turn it towards the Atma, towards the soul. But because this world is such a powerful force on us, it takes our attention away into the world, and therefore it becomes difficult to turn the attention towards the Atma. You can explain it this way, that if our attention does not go to Atma, which Vedam and Shastrams and all Vedantam, everything is trying to do that, to take our attention towards Atma. But if you cannot do that, what will happen is that this world will eat away all your power of Shraddha. The world will eat it. The world will take it off. And what happens is, this world will keep questioning you all the time. What about this? What about that? What about that? In this way. Because the creation is such, and the world is created in such a way, that our Shraddha or power of attention will get completely distributed in the world. And then you're gone. Then you're gone. This is the reason behind it. To avoid this problem, Vedam says to us that world is not real. It's for that. Whether it is real or not real is not an issue for Vedam. Vedam is not bothered about it. Vedam's point is, Shastra Upanishads are saying to us, the reason why we deny or say that the world is not real is for this reason. Not because whether it's real or not, what does it matter? After all, we are here. World is not the important, we are important. We, the soul inside, Atma, self-realization is more important than whether the world is real or not. But unnecessarily, we get involved in this argument about world is real or not. And if you say the world is not real, they say, how do you say it's not real? They'll ask the argument then. Can you imagine how much this world is causing in stopping us from inquiring about the self? So, for example, when you see this long, big sky and all the planets and galaxies and all kinds of the Milky Way and all stars, our mind will not stop there, would it? It goes after them and want to find out what's happening there, this galaxy, that galaxy, so many galaxies they are saying, what's all happening in all these galaxies. If your mind is gone like that, what possibility is there for the mind to go inwards? It is not possible. And this is exactly the problem. And that is the reason why they say, so imagine that you are talking about all these galaxies, all the time you can see the news in the newspapers and the science bringing up all this information to us. Is there any end to this? Where is the thing going to end? So it is so unlimited. It has such a vast thing which you can't even comprehend that in our head. The creation. This is the nature of this creation. And if you allow this to happen, the Shraddha power, what we have inside, will continuously go in that direction. This is the difficulty. Continuously go in that direction. Our Shraddha has gone like that, and that is why when Angiras Maharshi said this to Chitragedu, it is not helping us very much. Why? Because Angiras was able to make this message into Chitragedu's head. Similarly, everything related to philosophy, Krishna consciousness or spiritual understanding is like this. We cannot carry this world with us and understand Shastram. It is not possible. So, so try to understand this. It's quite an interesting one also. That if you get to know anything outside yourself, in Vedantam, it's called avidya. If you go after something which is outside you, where you are not involved, like the world, like the planets, like the all other things, if your Shraddha has fallen into all those things, which is separate from you, the self inside, in Vedantam, it's called avidya, ajnanam, ignorance, whichever way you want to call it. What we call as knowledge in the world, suppose you know about so many things, in the galaxies and the planets and the all other things, what's underneath the ground, underneath the ocean, all other information about this world. In the world, we call it as knowledge. Is it not? In the world, we call that as knowledge. That means, in the world, if you know something about another thing, it is called knowledge. So, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it is cars or aeroplanes or the planets or other galaxies, whatever it may be. If you know about them, in the world, they will call you, oh, he is very knowledgeable about it. Isn't it? And in Vedantam, if you come to Vedantam, Vedantam will say, it is ignorance. Straight away, it is ignorance. If you know about other things, because if you know about so many other things, that means you have a much bigger barrier to cross, to know the truth. It's a difficult thing. That how do we do this? This is the questioning coming. How do we get across this? That is why first thing Vedantam does is, don't put your Shraddha into the world. Don't put your Shraddha into the world. If you try to know so many things in this world, then your self-realization becomes more difficult. It becomes more difficult. So, what we call as knowledge in the world, in Vedantam, it is called ajnanam or avidya. Ajnanam or avidya. So, not knowing oneself, but to know about everything else which is not you, and then not knowing oneself, but you know about everything else in this world. You don't know about yourself, but you know about everything else. So, not knowing oneself itself is partial. That's a partial ignorance. Not knowing oneself. Then, but, added to that, knowing about something else is an added ignorance. Ajnanam. Added ignorance. And this is what in the Shastran they call it as Avaranam Vikshepam. The two words. Of course, in translation you can say covering potency and deluding potency. Covering potency is Avaranam. Deluding potency is Vikshepam. But this Avaranam Vikshepam, if you properly analyze it and see the depth of the problem, it finishes with these two issues. Avaranam is the coverage of the not knowing oneself. That's Avaranam. And knowing everything else is Vikshepam. So these two things are sufficient to stop us from knowing the self. From knowing the self. That means practically there is a total presence of ignorance inside, and that is why we are stuck there. And this is the reason why when we read Shastram, when Angiras and others are giving transcendental knowledge, it is not having any impact on us because of this. It doesn't have any impact on us. It's a big block to get through. So, Avarana Vikshepam. And therefore, Vikshepam means, so, Avarana means lack of knowledge. Avarana means lack of knowledge. Vikshepam means wrong knowledge. Avarana means lack of knowledge. That is enough problem. But added to that, Vikshepam is wrong knowledge. You have got all the wrong knowledge of the thing. No, know about yourself, but you know about everything else. That's the situation. So, it is this wrong knowledge that causes all the distress in the life. All the distress in the life. Misapprehension of whichever way we want to call it. Because you can see, for example, you know this example they give of the chiron, the rope and the snake. Rope and the snake. So, if you have not seen the rope, you may step your foot on the rope and you will walk away in the darkness. But if you start seeing the rope as the snake, that is when all the problem starts. Is it not? Suppose while walking, if you have stepped over the rope, and if you didn't know about the snake, if you didn't know about the rope also, you will just walk over it. Nothing will happen. But by mistake inside you, if a thought came that it could be a snake, then the fear starts developing. You say, no. It is that same principle. We don't know about the self. That's enough problem. But we know so many other nonsense, what we don't need to know. Because of knowing all other nonsense, we develop fear within us. This is the principle. Because we know so many other things in this world, that generates fear inside us. Kavi Maharshi said this in the Bhagavatam. You can see. Ishat abedasya viparyayo smriti, he is saying. Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujobasana atranityam. The first verse also, he is saying there, that where is this fear coming from? Everybody is in fearful state, is it not? In this world, everyone is living in a fearful state. Always in fear. Where is the fear coming from? From this. That we don't know who we are, and we have got this wrong knowledge about so many other things, and that is causing the problem. So, and the when you start seeing the snake in the rope, even though in reality there is no snake present there, the impact of that is very powerful on us, of the presence of the snake, is powerful on us, isn't it? So, not seeing the rope is only halfway. Not seeing the rope is only halfway. But the problem is actually you are seeing the snake. Similarly, we are not seeing ourselves who we are. Not knowing our own identity, that is half the problem. More than that, we know about this world more than what is necessary, and that is causing all the problems to us. This is the reason why Krishna is saying to us in the Ekadasha Skandam that Vidhi Maya Manomayam. You can't take this world seriously. If you take the world seriously, you are lost. That is the, you will see so many verses in the Bhagavatam when Krishna mentions this in the 28th chapter, in the 11th canto. We have discussed all these things before also when we discussed that 28th chapter, where Krishna is saying the Kim Badram Kim Abadram Ma Dvaidasya Vastuna Kiyal Vajodidam Tada Mridam Manasodhyadam Evava. Why does Krishna say like that? This is the reason behind it. But Krishna wouldn't say that in such depth about that. Reason being, Krishna expects you to reflect on it and understand why it is like that. That is up to us to understand it, why it is like that. If you look at the 28th chapter, you will see. But again and again, suddenly the mind will come back and say, oh, it's not working for me. How can I understand this? But that's the problem. Problem is this, that I have understood everything what I should not understand. But when I come to what you have to understand, you are not able to understand. That's the difficulty. I have understood everything in the world, what I don't need to understand. And now when I need to understand something, I can't understand. That's what Krishna is saying there. Look at the 28th chapter. That Krishna's point is that this is why when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is spoken in a very, very concise form, in few verses here and there. But the message is very powerful. And that requires very in-depth study and thinking about it. Why does Krishna say it like that? He says there, you can see, that 28th chapter, if you look, you will see, that when he said about Parasvabhava Karmani, Na Prashamsen Nagarhayel, Vishwam Ekalmagam Pashyan, Prakritya Purushayanacham, Parasvabhava Karmani, Ya Prashamsadi Nindadi, Sa Ashubhrashade Swartal, Asatyam Abhiniveshada. Taijase nidrayabhanne pindasto nashta chetana mayam prapnodi mrutyumva tadvat nanarthadrikpuman. Nanarthadrikka means this. Nanarthadrikka means that you are looking at so many things in this world and start seeing, oh, this is amazing. Finding amazing things in this world, and the Shraddha goes in that direction. Remember I mentioned yesterday, somebody talked about this black hole once in the class. So one of the devotee who was studying black hole in the college, she felt, this is interesting, Bhagavatam is talking about black hole also. That's how her mind has gone in that way. She started thinking, oh, Bhagavatam, this is... So as soon as the class was over, she comes up and asked a question. He said, interesting, isn't it? Bhagavatam talks about the black hole. And what does Bhagavatam say about the black hole? So the speaker said to them, I don't know anything about black hole. All I've read in the paper only about this black hole thing. Bhagavatam doesn't say anything about the black hole. Because that person who was listening to Bhagavatam, 1.5 hour or so, the only thing that caught her attention was black hole. Why? Because she has read about black hole in the papers or in the journals or wherever it is, and the mind is meditating on this black hole all the time. So when you mention that, suddenly, that's what you are dreaming. This is why we say, our vacant state is not really vacant state. Most of it is dream that is going on. And because of this dreaming, even if you speak, Angiras Maharshi comes and tells you things, it won't get in. Because the dream is going on centered around something else. Real Jagrat state is not there in anybody. Nobody is in Jagrat state at any time. Nobody is in the vacant state. It is 80% dream state and probably 10 or 20% vacant state. You will wonder why Krishna said like this, is it not? When he is saying, okay, we can accept it as Krishna is saying that. But the reason why Krishna is saying is this, that if you give all your attention to the world, then this world is causing a problem for you in realizing the self. This is the problem. If you give all your attention to the world itself has become a problem for you in realizing who you are. Taijasam kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiyal vajodidam tadamardam manasadhyadame vacham chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asandopyarthakarina evam dehadayo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam alpaivattadidam vishwam srijyade srijadi prabhu trayade tradi vishwalpa hriyade haradishwaram tasman mahyalpano nasmal anyabhavo nirubida nirubideyam trivida nirmula bhadiralmani idam gunamayam vidhi trividham mayaya kridam edad vidwan madudidam jnana vijnana naipunam na nindadi na jasthaudi loke charadi suryaval. You see, Krishna is saying na nindadi na jasthaudi loke charadi suryaval. Like the sun passes through this world, we have to learn to pass through this world. Because if you get attracted by the black hole, attracted by the galaxies, attracted by the Milky Way, the stars, the planets, this, that and the other, and several other things in this world, your ajnanam is increasing all the time. Avidya is building up inside. And the more the avidya builds up inside, the real thing inside, what we are supposed to go after, you will not be able to do it. And that is our problem. Everybody's problem that is. So, pratyakshena anumanena nagamena atmasamvida adyanda vasalnyatva nisango vijarediha. So, when Krishna spoke all these verses, we discussed all these verses when we went through the 11th canto, individually all verses. But you may ask why Krishna is saying like this. The reason is this, that if you give your attention to the world, it will suck your energy. All Shraddha power, whatever little we have Shraddha inside, that power will be sucked by the world, and it means that you won't be able to go back to the real inquiry process, what is happening there. So here, now interesting thing more about how Krishna sees these things. So, that knowledge, what we have acquired in the world, about various things, whatever it may be, about various things, that is in Vedantam, it is called Ajnanam. Suppose you say you are very educated, all the degrees you have collected from the world, and you go to Vedantist and tells him that I've got this master's or doctorate or this, that and the other. If you will say that you are, that means you have such a high degree of ignorance inside. That's all. One Swami Shivananda, he was in Rishikesh Ashram, who was the founder of the Divine Life Society. A highly qualified person came up to him and told him that he wants to study Vedantam, he said. So Swami Shivananda told him that what did you study in all your life? So he said to him, I got all these qualifications. So Shivananda Swamiji told him, that means it will take a long time for you now, because you are too educated. That is the problem. That all this education becomes actually a block for him, because Ajnanam has built up so much inside. So, and then the question will come, then is Vedantam not knowledge? That also is question. If knowledge is a problem, is Vedantam also not knowledge? He says, you have to escape from ignorance and you have to escape from knowledge as well. You have to escape from knowledge as well. For example, ignorance alone is not good enough to go. It's not good enough if the ignorance goes away. Knowledge also. That is why when you study Vedantam, you have to study with extreme care of studying the Vedantam. Reason is, only what is necessary to know, we have to know. For example, when we engage in the Vicharam means analyzing the Vedanta philosophy, that you may ask the question, that the knowledge that is coming from the Vedantam, is that knowledge not ignorance? You can ask that question also, isn't it? It is not. The reason is, you will see in the Bhagavadam that when we are talking about guru-disciple relationship, the knowledge is such that it will burn everything, and finally the knowledge also, it gets burned. Remember that verses in the Bhagavadam? If you look into the 10th chapter, I think, in the 11th canto, when Krishna explains that, how that happens in the case of Vedantic knowledge. No other knowledge this will happen. Vedantic knowledge is such, it will burn all other ignorance. Like they compare that with the when you burn the bodies, the firewood is there, it burns everything. And when you look at it later, the firewood also has burned and it has become to ashes. So similarly, he says here that in the 10th chapter, see that 8th verse, Vilakshanam Stula Soshmam Dehad Alpenshida Sodrika Yad Agnir Daryuno Dahyo Dahagonya Prakashaga. That verse. That's what it's saying. That Vilakshana Stula Sushmal Dehal Alpmechida Swadrak Yad Agnir Daryuno Dahya Dahagonya Prakashaga. That is the nature of this knowledge of the self. This is a big difference. All other knowledge, what we acquire from this world, that is ignorance. That stays inside. In the form of ignorance, it stays inside. We think we have got knowledge. Actually, we haven't got anything. It's all some temporary understanding of something. Is any reality there in that? There is no reality. Suppose I come to know about the design of a car or an aeroplane, whatever that is. For some time it stays. In the waking state it stays for some time. But as soon as my body gets sick or my memory goes away, that knowledge is gone. The so-called knowledge. That is why it's called ignorance. Whereas the knowledge of the self, no matter what happens to the body, mind, intelligence or anything, it remains. That is the difference between the two. Because that knowledge is not stored up in the brain or in the mind, that is what Krishna is saying here. Vilakshana stula sushmal deha alpmechida sodrik yad agnir dharuno dahya dahagonya prakashaka. This knowledge of the self is such, it burns all other ignorance what I have collected from the world, and finally it burns itself in such a way that only what remains is only my pure identity of the self, who I am. That knowledge remains. Because the nature of the knowledge of the self is such, it destroys all other ignorance and keeps us in the platform of the soul. Never. So that is what he is saying. Vilakshana stula sushmal deha alpmechida sudrikka yad agnir dharuno dahya dahagonya prakashaka. That agnir dharuno dahya dahagonya prakashaka. That it can burn everything else and it can burn itself. It can burn itself. At that point, it's not a knowledge anymore. like the way we have collected the knowledge from the world. So these are the important things. Why I am saying this is that that therefore, because of this, that it will burn everything, and that means it will wipe out all the other knowledge what we have collected in this world, and it will burn itself and go away. So therefore, if you want to study anything in this world, you have to study that before you study the Shastram of Vedantam. Before you study Vedantam, you have to study everything else, if you want to study anything. Because once you have studied Vedantam, then you can't study anything else. Do you see? If you have studied Vedantam, then you can't study anything else after that. Just like they give the example, once the sun has risen, then you don't need a torch or a candle or any light to know the truth, isn't it? So similarly, all other knowledge, what is present there, will be there only up to the point till you have this Vedantic knowledge. Vedantam's position is like that. That once Vedantic knowledge is inside, whether that is exactly Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavatam also, as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, that he is repeating this, that if this transcendental knowledge gets in, then no other knowledge can stay there. This is the reason why Krishna calls it as Rajavidya. For this reason, that if this knowledge goes in, then all other ignorance will disappear. It cannot stay anymore. Because so-called knowledge, what we have collected in the world, is all ignorance. It is not related to yourself. It's related to something else. And that related to something else will go as soon as your body has gone. So what's the use of that? How can you call it as knowledge? In the Bhagavad Gita beginning itself, Krishna started with this, isn't it? Nasato vidyate bhavo, ma bhavo vidyate sada. Krishna's point is, if you have not, if the knowledge is not staying with you, and if it is not revealing to you who you are, what kind of knowledge is that? That's the question there. So, once this knowledge, Vedantic realization has come inside, and especially those who have studied Vedantam in the Sampradaya system, then they will actually spit it, all other knowledge. They'll just spit it away, spit it out. And even in the Sanskrit, you will see, after you have studied Vedantam, they will not study even Sanskrit literature. Or they won't even study the other side, topics like logic, and tarkam, nyayam, all other subjects, they don't even study that. Because the knowledge of the Vedantam is such that it has given you the true realization of who you are. And after that, you don't need all these things. And you start seeing them, the rest everything is nothing but ignorance. This understanding will come automatically. So that is why in the Sampradaya system means in the traditional math, in the traditional Parampara system, when they teach, Vedantam is taught the last. Initially, you will teach all other things. Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam, Mimamsa, these things are taught first. Last topic, what is taught to the student is Vedantam. Once the Vedantam is given, then he will understand after the Vedantam that all that what he has studied before is all useless. If you say that to him in the first day itself, he won't understand. He won't understand. So to come to that point, all other things are taught, and finally, once Vedantam is given to him, then that person completely rejects that. Because it is, after you have, because all other topics like Sankhya, Nyayam, Yogam and all that, all other topics are, you will realize one day, entire information becomes completely useless and futile. Completely futile. And that is why, in that Bhajagovindam prayers, Nahi Nahi Ratshadi Dukranya Karani, that comes from that. That all other things are waste of time. So therefore it is taught at the last subject. So when that happens, you will see this, that all other things what we have learned is like the water in the desert. Water in the desert. So, and this is exactly what happened to Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu, it becomes the Vritrasura in the next life, is it not? So, so he had this problem that he had no children, and he performed various kinds of austerities, sacrifices, homam, nothing worked. And interesting thing was, this Chitrakedu was a very highly respected person because of his dharma. He stick to dharma, and therefore all the rishis liked him for that reason. Because he stick to dharmic way of life. He stick to the dharmic principles. One who followed Shastram seriously. So therefore, all the rishis had a great attachment for Chitrakedu. But he is suffering here now, saying that he has no children. So, normal situation, if Vedantam is given to him, his distress will go. And this is what Angiras thought. When Angiras came to him, this is what he thought. So, he thought that if I give him the knowledge of the self, his distress should go. That was in Angiras' mind. Because this, any kind of distress in life, if you really want to get rid of it, the solution is Vedantam. Solution is Vedantam. There is no other solution to that. And that is why in Ayurvedam also they say this, Ashtanga Hridayam book, you will see they mentions there, if no medicine is working for a disease, then give this medicine of Vedantam, they say. Because then all other medicines, what you give to the person, is for the disease in the body. Is it not? For the disease in the body. What does Vedantam does? Vedantam is the medicine to get out of the body. So this is how Vedantam and Ayurvedam goes together. Ayurvedam will take you up to a point and say to you, we'll try this medicine, that medicine, that medicine. But at some point in time, if you get to know that the person is not going to get cured by the treatment from Ayurvedam, then the last option left for that person is Vedantam. Because Vedantam actually solves the problem. Real problem is this body. It is from this body that's what you're treating, isn't it? In the doctors treat this body, but body itself is a disease. Body itself is a disease. And what Vedantam does is, it takes away the body from us once for all. Because it is because of the body this misery has come, isn't it? So that is why Angiras goes to him with the idea, and this is what Vedantam is, what he is saying here. See that verses? Shabdadayascham Vishayaschala Rajya Vibhudaya Mahirajyam Balam Kosham Vrithya Amatya Suhrujanaha. Then Sarve Vishura Senemi Shogamoha Bhayartidaha Gandharvanagara Prakhya Swapnam Maya Manorathaha Drishyamana Vidhartena Nadrishyande Manobhava Karma bhirdhyayado nanal, karma kurmani manaso bhaval. I am he dehino deho, dravyajnana kriyalmaga, dehino vividhaklesha, sandhabakrudu dahrida, tasmal sostena manasa, vimrshagadimalpana, duaide druvarta vishramam, tejobam upashama visha. All this what Angiras is saying to Chitrakedu is exactly what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava also. Not at all different. This is in Angiras' words, that is in Krishna's words. That's all. But message is the same. You see, this way we have to go into Bhagavatam. Otherwise you won't understand. Simply reading the stories is no good. But in situations like this, when a crisis came in Chitrakedu's life, when he suffered due to the death of his child, how did Angiras get him out from that? That is what you have to ask the question. And that is the way the analyze. He spoke in 2-3 verses what we have spoken so far. You can see this, that Angiras Maharshi spoke to him when he arrived there second time after the baby's death, that he received him. And but in the first instance itself, when Angiras came, Chitrakedu received him very well and told him that told him about his distressful state. In our family we have no children. And Chitrakedu had a big empire to rule. So because of this, because I have no children, what will happen to the kingdom? Who is going to rule this? So and saying this, Chitrakedu was showing his frustration in life to Angiras. So Angiras spoke to him first time, and it gave so many explanations to Chitrakedu. He says to him that everything what you plant, seed, what you sow in the ground, all the seeds will not sprout, will not come out as plants. Some of them will not, some of them will. Is it not? And all the plants that has come out may not flower. Some of them will have flowers, some of them may not have flowers. And then he said, some of them may have flowers, all the flowers may not turn out to be fruits. This is the truth, he's saying. He's making Chitrakedu understand that it does not work in a logical way. There is no logic in all these things. So he says to him, so therefore, he says, what Krishna has not given to you, you should not go and ask him and get it from him. You shouldn't do that. That's what he's saying. What Krishna has not given to you, you should not go and ask him and get it from him, because what will happen is that in the world only happiness is, proper happiness is only when you realize that the happiness is in the soul. There is no other happiness here. But come to that point, it takes so much time. First what we do, we go and ask everything, and if we get it, we feel happy. If we don't get it, we feel unhappy. In this way, life goes on. And finally, one day, rishis are telling us, don't ask anything. Because if you ask anything and try to get it, you will be unhappy with that. You will be unhappy with that. So that is what he's saying here. So all these things, Angiras Maharshi spoke to him, but the Chitrakedu was not willing to listen to anything. Nothing will get into his head. And this what I have spoken so far is what is called Anyabhinivesham. Anyabhinivesham means our Shraddha has gone to the world so much and this is not clicking. When something is spoken very straightforward, it's not clicking. So this who knows this? Realized people, realized personalities, they know this problem in a newcomer to the spiritual life. He knows this problem. So therefore, if you have any block inside you, he will know this. For example, this knowing so much things is a problem. That's a block. Similarly, attachment to karma, that's a block. This problem we have spoken many times. We have done so much in this world, karma, and we got the result from that. Now, when you come to spiritual life also, you are thinking the same thing. I have to do it. I have to realize the self. I have to make sure that Krishna takes me to the spiritual world. I have to make sure that everything has to happen according to my plan. Why is that? Because this karma has created kartrutvam in me and bhoktrutvam also. Karma planted these two seeds inside us. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. Kartrutvam means I have to do it. Bhoktrutvam means I have to get the result. And so long as these two seeds, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is in me, when I come to spiritual life also, I will do exactly the same thing. I will do all these things, whatever my spiritual master has told, whatever the Shastram has told, I have done everything. Where is the result? One day we will catch the spiritual master by the throat and ask him, you have told me all these things, I have done everything, where is the result? You have cheated me now, haven't you? You can ask that, that will happen. If the kartrutvam is very strong inside, that's how it will end up. That's why after some time, the disciple is thinking, it's not working. He blames. And spiritual master also doesn't know. That's the type of spiritual master is also in the world. He's trying to patch him up somehow or the other, stay on, tell you everything will be okay. But everything will not be okay because the problem is inside. Kartrutva bhoktrutva is inside. And this, all the wrong knowledge what we have got from there is so knowledgeable. And sometimes it's so amazing that suppose some personality joins and he has got a lot of material qualifications. Oh, he has joined our movement. That means he must be very intelligent. This is, we are doing the right thing. Film stars, big businessmen, big football players. If they all become a devotee, it will be there in all the websites. Why? Why is that? Because of this. But we don't know the ignorance that has come from that person, what he has brought with him. That is what it's saying. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, coming from the karmam, and all the false information from the world comes the satyanam. All these are blocks in the process of knowing the self. In knowing the self. And that is what Chitragedu's problem. Chitragedu had this difficulty, but because our Angiras Maharshi knew this problem, he didn't speak one word. He is not ready for it, with all this understanding, so he walks away. So this difficulty in spiritual life is what we have to deal with. We have to deal with. So whenever your mind is giving you trouble, thinking that, oh, why nothing is happening in my spiritual life, this, that, everything, think yourself. Go back yourself and look at it. Why it's happening? Because things what Angiras Maharshi has spoken to Chitragedu, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, nothing has worked for us. Nothing has worked for us. Because we are what we are. We have not changed at all. So this difficulty, if you look at highly realized personalities, they will show this sometimes in us, how it exists in us, how strongly it is present in us. So that is one important point to remember. just like you can see, sometimes people have some ambition in life, in their own mind. And that ambition itself is a block in their life. So either that ambition has to go, otherwise he has to know that ambition is going to bring distress tomorrow. Bring distress tomorrow. Then people will say, oh, if you have no ambition, how can you live in this world? Because ambition is driving us to carry on doing things in this, isn't it? So Chitragedu's problem was that he had no children. That was his problem. And this problem what Chitragedu had, Angiras found it out. And he says to him that finally, that we'll perform a sacrifice, and that sacrifice what that comes out, the charu, that will give it to your wife, and see what happens, and she will be happy, you will have a child. Why did he say like this, Angiras say like that? The reason is that everything, when Angiras mentioned this to Chitragedu, he told him, you will have happiness, you will have distress as well. The reason for that is, everything in this world is like that. Is like that. Then, remember, when you go and buy something in Tesco or Sainsbury, they'll give you something free with that. Similarly, this principle of the world, that you just cannot have only happiness here. If you think that you got something here in this world, some happiness, you can more or less expect that there will be some distress to follow with that. Nothing will work in this world without distress. Everything, it's buy one, get one free. That does get one free is the distress with that. Whether it is family life or your professional life or your body conditions, whatever it may be. Even if you try your best, if you say that I only want the happiness part of it, that's not possible. If you want some happiness, you can have it, but you should also be prepared to accept the distress associated with that. Whether it is husband, wife, children, family members, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's the same. So, that is free. it is in this situation that here, in the Bhagavatam also, that the Chitragedu's wife became pregnant and the child was born. And the king spent a lot of time with Kritajidhi when the baby was born. So, again Angiras comes back after the death of the baby. Angiras says to him,
that this is the world, this is the way is world. So he says to Chitragedu that you are such a fortunate person that you had the association of great, great Mahatmas. Many, many rishis used to come to see Chitragedu because of his special relationship with them. And you are a devotee as well. So therefore, you shouldn't feel distressed about it. And it is only because of that I have come to advise you something. And he says to him that prarabdham, you cannot take it out. You can't take out the prarabdham. But we can do one thing, that this cause of this distress, what you are experiencing now, that I can take it out. I can't take out the distress, but I can take out the cause of this distress, he says to him. This distress is what we call it as niyati or prarabdham. Prarabdham or niyati. It is not possible to take it away. That is why if you look at that chapter, what Angiras, Chitragedu says, how Chitragedu puts it to Angiras. Sorry, Angiras puts it to Chitragedu. He says that adhuna putrinam tapo bhavadevanubhuyate evam dara griharayo vividhai aishwarya sambadaha shabdadayascha vishaya chalarajya vibhudaya mahi rajyam balam kosham brithya amatya suhril janaha sarve vishura senemi shogamoha bhayartidaha gandharva nagara prakhya sopnam maya manoradaham. Everything what Angiras want to say to Chitragedu, he put it in 3-4 words. Gandharva nagara prakhya sopnam maya manoradaha. What does Krishna say? Exactly the same thing. Is it not? Vidhi maya manomayam. So, as far as Krishna is concerned, as far as Angiras is concerned, what he is saying to Chitragedu is, because you have taken the world so seriously, therefore, this is a problem for you. And you are not able to realize who you are. That is the problem. Like we all have exactly the same thing. So he says to him, drishyamano vidhartena na drishyande mano bhavaha karma birdhyayado nana karmani manaso bhavan ayam hi dehino deho dravya jnana kriya almaga dehino vividha klesha sandabat krudu dakhradaha tasmal sostena manasa vimarshagadimalmana dvaide druvartha vishrambam tyajam upashamama visha. He says, tasmal sostena manasa, if the mind is not swastham, that means swastham means situated in the self. Swam, stham. Swam is the self, stham means situated there. Angiras is saying to Chitragedu, if you are not situated on the self, then what will happen is, manasa vimarshagadima alpmana, dvaidam will come. Dvaidam will come. Dvaide dhruvartha vishrambham. Dvaidam means to see everything different here in the creation. What we discussed in the beginning, that you are started seeing everything in this world and attention going towards that. Attention going towards that. So this problem you can see is when we talk about soul and when we talk about Atma, the greatest difficulty scientists and the highly qualified people, they have got the problem, biggest problem. They find it very hard because they have filled inside with so much garbage, which in the words of Vedantam, it is ignorance that they have collected. And because of that, it's very difficult for them to understand when we talk about the self. And the reason why Vedantam denies this world, reality is because of this. That if your Shraddha has gone to the world, it's finished. Then it is not possible to inquire about the self. Because Shraddha is in the world, what can you do? And that has happened to everybody. Almost all, you can say. That's the problem. That if Shraddha has gone to the world, to pull it back from there, back towards inside, towards the self, is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. So that is what he is saying here. That
Swapnamaya Manoratha. He says there. Swapnamaya Manoratha. In the Yoga Vasishtam it says Dirgha Swapna Mimam Vidhi about the world. We can state. Dirgha Swapna Mimam Vidhi, Yoga Vasishtam says. That means Dirgha Swapna means a long dream. The night dream is a short dream. This is a long dream. But this long dream, we start feeling real, it is, isn't it? Why do we start feeling real? Because that is the power of this vacant state. In the dream state, you have an escape. These are all interesting things. All this has to be studied to understand that verses. The two verses with the Swapnamaya, what he talked about, Swapnamaya Manoratham, what Angiras said, unless you have analyzed waking state and dream state very well, you won't understand what he is saying. What Angiras has spoken to Chitrakedu, to understand that, you have to analyze waking state and the dream state very well. Only then you will know what he means by that. Otherwise you will think, oh, he's saying it's a dream, oh, it's a dream. It will go on the surface only. It will just go on the surface. It won't have its effect on you, impact in you. So that is why you have to analyze it. Why the Yoga system, it explains a little better that when the distress comes in the vacant state, it disturbs you a lot, and because of that you feel vacant state is real. Do you understand? When the distress comes in the vacant state, and because it lasts for some time, you start accepting this must be a real thing. Whereas in the dream state, it's in a different way. Compare these two. What happens in the dream state? Say in the dream state, you have been in a very, say you are American president, imagine, for this doesn't cost anything, isn't it, to dream like that. You are the American president, and you have your special plane to take you everywhere, you are traveling all around the world, doing things, whatever you like. Whatever, high responsibility, everywhere you are given a big reception. And you are dreaming all that in your dream. Suppose somebody came and wake you up, You didn't want to get up because you are having a great time. But when you were woken up, you realize it was all nothing but a dream, it's gone. Suppose you are suffering in the dream state. Similarly, suppose you are suffering in the dream state and somebody came and woke you up, you feel relieved, came out of it. So that dream state has caused you some problem, but not to the extent like in the vacant state. What Vedantam is saying is, all that is happening in the vacant state, the difference is, because it's lasting a little bit longer than the dream state, but observe the world in such a way, look at this world, so many people are taking birth here, we don't know who they are. And they die and go also from this world, we don't know who they are. Some of them came with us and joined us in our life here. And we started, oh, they are all our people. They are my people. So I have something to do with them. And you didn't know them before. Only in the journey of life, somewhere halfway, somebody joined you. And somewhere in that life, at some point in time, they left you and gone. But you are taking that small part of time when you were together and saying that, oh, I am suffering because he has left me or she has left me. I am suffering from that. So, here, you can see here that is there any difference in this? What's happening in this world, more or less, is very much compared to a movie. To a cinema, when you look at the cinema. So, cinema, it is like that, is it not? People see the cinema, or sometimes some serial also, because that's very popular everywhere, isn't it? Serials and cinemas. We observe, watch the cinema, serials, everything, and sometimes people cry, what happened seeing in the cinema or the serial, they cry after that. Oh, this should not have happened like this, they say. Because why? they've gone and identified with it to that extent, it could be an ongoing thing for a long period of time, the serials. So every week they'll show you a part and then hold you there. And in the next week they'll bring the next part of it. So what happens is that when you go to the next part, you are expecting that it will all happen in the way you want it. And if it didn't happen, you get disturbed inside. So practically, what happens in our vacant state and what happens in this cinema, there is not a big difference. But we are not able to accept it that way. We are thinking, this is real, that's not real. That's not real. So the question people will ask this question, that in our practical life, all this Vedantam, how will it help? In reality, this is the only thing that will help. Nothing else. Nothing else will help. Because there is no... Can you explain this life in this world? Can you give a proper explanation to that? Why are we here? What are we doing here? Where are we going from here? Who are we? You ask these 4 or 5 questions. Who will give you an answer in this world? They will say to you, don't ask all that questions. If the child asks the father will say, why are you bothering me with all these kind of questions? This is what the father will say, isn't it? So, strictly speaking, you can see that there is no answer to all these questions. And with all these things in the background, we are saying life is real. What is real here? What is real in our life? What will you say is everything is real here? Who can analyze it that way? So that is why Vedantam is saying to us, till you know who you are, there ends all inquiry. It is over with that. And as long as you don't know who you are, this inquiry will continue for life after life. Nothing is going to come to an end. So, sometimes somebody has come and taken birth somewhere. We didn't know him. When he comes and joins your family, is born in the family. And he lived for some time, then he's dead and gone from this world. Isn't it? And that time, lot of distress he gives to you and he goes. And you say everything is real. Is it not? So, what Shastram is saying to us is that this creation, maintenance, dissolution, that is Srishti, Sthiti, Samharam, creation, maintenance and dissolution also, that is nothing but like a film on the screen, like a movie that's going on the screen. So, in reality, dream state, we call it as dream state, isn't it? Actually, vacant state is not a dream state. Let me explain that better so that you'll see that. Dream is a phenomenon in us. Dream state is a phenomenon. And vacant state is also another phenomenon. And this dream state, its concrete form is this vacant state. Vacant state. What does this mean? It means when the dream becomes very powerful, it becomes vacant state. When this is, you got to give time to all these things, to think through it and analyze it properly. Otherwise, you won't understand this. Because inside us, something is saying, no, don't listen to all this. Who's saying this? Mind is saying. Mind is saying to you, no, this is real. How can you say it's not real? Vedantam is telling us, Krishna is saying to us, Angiras is saying to us, that this vacant state is a much more powerful dream state. That is why we are finding this difficulty. And that is the reason we are finding it difficult to deny the vacant state. So one person asked this question, that in the dream state, we don't remember about the vacant state. But in the vacant state, we remember about the dream state. Is it not? when you go into the dream state, you don't remember about the vacant state. You are dreaming there. But when you come back to the vacant state, from the dream state, everything what happened in the dream, you are remembering. See, when you go into the dream state, you have to think in this way. When you go into the dream state, the experiences you have in the dream state is not what you have planned in the vacant state. Something happens inside. So many experiences in the dream state. We have no idea how to connect it together. Where it's coming from, where it's going, no idea. And a large experience over a period of 20 or 30 years, what you may have experienced in the vacant state, could be experienced in a couple of hours or an hour in the dream state. You go through the whole experience. So at that point, what is happening is that you are not able to relate to bring anything from that dream state, vacant state into dream state on your own. It just comes. From somewhere it comes. We don't know where it is. But on the other hand, if you look at it this way, that when you wake up into the vacant state from the dream state, you have fairly an idea of everything what you have experienced in the dream state. You are able to say this, isn't it? So their logic is that because of that, how can we accept the vacant state in the same way as the dream state? This is the logic of some people. They will ask this question. The question will be like this, that in the dream state we don't remember about the vacant state, but in the vacant state we remember about the dream state. When this issue was raised in the Brahma Sutra, Acharya Swamiji answers this question. He says that itself is the proof. He says that dream state is not much different than the vacant state. This relationship between the dream. He says, at least, he says here, that dream at least is denying the vacant state, but vacant state cannot deny the dream state. That is his answer to that. You know, rishis have analyzed it so much, not today, not yesterday, millions of years ago, they have analyzed it. And they have understood it in such depth, that is why Angiras is coming and saying this to Chitraketu. So when Angiras says this to Chitraketu, you have to remember where it's coming from. It's not something he is just saying from, picking from the air and saying something. He's saying to him that Jagrat state, vacant state, cannot deny the dream state. But dream state can deny the Jagrat state, vacant state. Vacant state will not deny the dream state. Because when you wake up, you can say that in the vacant state you say, I had that dream. Never you will be able to say, oh, I didn't dream about that. But you will only say what you have dreamt. You are so able to say that. But when you go into dream state, you can't say that same thing about the vacant state. Can you see that difference there? So here, and that is why, and that power is called apohanam. Apohanam means, remember, matta, smriti, jnanam, apohanam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that. This apohanam is that. All these words are so heavy, it carries so much in it, that he says to him, that, and you can see here, in the vacant state, we are seeing everything is real, real, real. It all exists, it exists, exists, exists. All the time we are thinking like that. But after a while, we forget everything. Is it not? We forget everything. Some things, imagine you go back to your own life and look at it this way. Say 20 years or 30 years back. How much do you remember everything what happened? Just pieces of some incidents in your memory. That's all it is. Has it got any more reality to that? If you want to bring it back exactly the same way, is that possible today? It's not possible. So, what does that mean? And you are saying that waking state is real. Is it not? Some things, say, in the school or college, whatever has happened, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years back, whatever that has happened, you are now, if you think about it now, How much do you remember all that? You cannot bring it back the same way as it used to be, isn't it? So, say somebody died and you cried a lot. And the spiritual master went up to him and explained to him Vedantam, Vedantic knowledge. He tried to take him out of the problem. The disciple got angry. He told the spiritual master, my wife died and you are teaching me Vedantam now. He says to him. So, the spiritual master understood exactly what Chitragedu and Angiras happened. The spiritual master left him and gone. After 6 months, because he understood the situation, he comes back to the disciple again and says to him, when he found out by now, the disciple is sitting there and watching the television. 6 months have gone by now. The day his wife died, he was in tears, he couldn't bear it. He was crying and crying, and when he started talking to him about Shastram, Vedantam and all that, disciple says, you can throw away all that rubbish, I don't want to hear, he said. So, spiritual master understood, it is no point in saying to him anything. After 6 months he comes back and says to him that, I have one desire, will you fulfill that for me? He said to the disciple. By now disciple has come down, he is smiling and he is dealing with the spiritual master in a problem. He says to him, what do you want? You remember the day you cried 6 months ago when your wife died? Can you cry like that with the same intensity the way you cried that day? So the disciple started laughing. He wasn't crying anymore. Because he himself was thinking how he cried 6 months ago when the wife died. This is all this life is all about. That is why Angiras Maharshi is saying this, Sopnamaya Manoratham. We won't easily accept it. We are thinking that, oh, this is real. Everything is real here. What's happening? But the dream, effect of the dream is for a short period of time. Is it not? Short period of time. But all the incidents in the vacant state is also like that. Probably a little longer than in the effect of the dream. Effect of the dream. Say, your father, mother, somebody died long ago, 30 years or 40 years, sometime back, long ago. If you try to remember, even you can't even remember completely everything. Yes, I had a father, I remember him, but I don't remember much more than that. As you get older, you can see this problem, that it is all pieces collected and kept it in the memory. That's all it is. And we call it as real. What is real there? This is the difficulty. And when we have all these problems, when Angiras comes and says to you, Sapnamaya Manoratham, you will say, this old bearded man, Rishi, he is sitting in the forest thinking something else. He does not understand. Exactly like the way the disciple is saying. That's what has happened to Chitragetu also. So here, but when it is happening in life, at that point, you are feeling the distress. You are feeling the distress. Sukham, happiness, distress, everything is there. Sapna deva, nothing but a dream. Another dream it is. So, sapnam, like the wake dream state, is a vacant state as well. So, when we see a good dream, we don't want to come out of it. Similarly, in vacant state also, when the life is going good, we don't want to know about the soul. When the life is going good, we will say, like in the dream state, exactly the same thing. When the dream is going good, you don't want to wake up from the dream. Shastram is saying, when the life is going well, everything is, money is there, lot of enjoyment here, everything is happening according to your plan, who cares about the soul? Who wants to know about the soul? That's what he's saying here. So, at that time when you are told about that to wake up, you don't want to give up. So, similarly, Krishna is saying here, Manoratham, Sapnamaya Manoratham, he says here. Manoratham means mental chariot. Sapna means the dream, and this body and this waking state, if you look at all these things, they are all same. Manoratha means mental chariot, dream, the gross body, this waking state, they are all in the Shastram, they have put all of them in the same category of Asat. See that? The waking state, the gross body, the dream, and the mental chariot, that means the thought waves that's coming, Chitavrti. All these things in the Shastram, they have put into the same box called Asat. Called Asat. Because you can see here, if you look at your own waking state, in your waking state, only on the fringe you will see something concrete, only on the surface. But 80% of your waking state is dream. If you think yourself, you will understand this, what I'm saying. For example, say somebody has told you that someone else spoke about you something. Somebody has commented about you, and one of your friends have come and told you that somebody else has spoken like this about you. Do you know that after you heard that comment, around that you will build up a whole dream about it? You may not have heard it. He has said something, and he, in his dream state, because his vacant state is also not fully vacant state. So that is why they say here that everything what is happening in the world outside, that has no relationship with your imagination inside. So many things are happening. You are hearing constantly many, many things what's happening in this world. Centered around that, what you heard, you will be developing a lot of imaginations inside. And all that imagination what you have inside is all part of dream, not the waking state. That is why they say, even if you say you are in the vacant state, only you are vacant for about 10 or 20%. 80% of it is dream state. So now you know what vacant state means. Vacant state doesn't mean that if my eyes are open, I am in the vacant state. That's not vacant state means. Vacant state means that if you are free from all these problems, imaginations of other things, what you are imagining and building up inside, if all that is away from you, only then it is possible to have a proper waking state. Proper waking state. 99% you can see we are in the field of imagination. Bhavana Mandalam. So, inside every one of us is filled with lots of dreams, and only on the surface that we are thinking that we are in the vacant state. Actually, we are not. We are not in the vacant state. And you can give you so many examples for this. All you have to do is to look into your own life and see how this is happening. Majority of situations, you will notice this one thing, that in your imaginations you have built up so many things and you are suffering from that. You are suffering from that. And we are actually filled with dreams. We are filled with dreams. And exactly this is the reason why we are getting attracted to cinema, movies, serials and everything. Because we like to live in that world of imagination. We don't live in the vacant state. We live in the dream state. That is why Shastram, Acharya Swamiji mentions this. He says, where is your vacant state? He is asking. His explanation to this is, all your vacant state, you are living in dreams. And this dream, and that dream, when you have closed your eyes, he is saying there is practically no difference. This is the hard bit to understand sometimes. Because we don't look at it that way. Our problem is that if my eyes are open, I am in the waking state. If my eyes are closed, I am in the dream state. This is how we are looking at. That is not the way to look at vacant state and dream state. Actual vacant state is when you know that most of the time, 80 to 90% of you filled inside is dreams. It is in that dream we are suffering and enjoying and everything. It has nothing to do with the reality. Bhavana Mandalam, it is called. So as long as we are in that dream state, there is practically no difference between the waking state and the dream state. Between the waking state and the dream state. So, that is the reason why this, you can see, it is all over the world, isn't it? Cinema and the movies and the serials and all, it has taken control of the whole world. How many channels are continuously giving television serials? Why? Because we live in that world, in the world of imagination. It is not vacant state, it's a dream state. And because we are in the dream state, we like to see that dream through the television. People run to cinema theaters and we glorify them all the time. The big, big actors, film actors, Hollywood, Bollywood, anywhere you go, this is the same thing. And they control the imagination of the people in this world. And they keep them in their world, in that world of imagination. That's what our life is about. So, and sometimes you will see, when we are discussing from Bhagavatam, or any other Puranam for that matter, they will, if you keep on talking about it, people who are listening, if you observe this, you yourself see, they will hear one word here and there. And then after the class is over, or Bhagavatam class is over, they'll come, you are telling me about the wife, what is her name? Somebody, some king, you are saying, what's her name? I didn't get that, he said. Is this important? This is how our mind, why that is happening? Because when he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he was in a dream world. He was living in a dream. And in his dream he was thinking, who was his wife? The proper message in the Puranam is not what his wife's name is. What does it got to do with it? How important that is. Swapnamaya Manoraham, when Angiras is saying, Angiras means this, that you are in Maya, you are in the mental chariot, you are in the dream state. So 90% of the people, that's why we have been talking Srimad Bhagavatam for how many years now? What has happened? Nothing has happened. I'm sure about that, because sometimes when I hear some questions, I start thinking, what to do now? It's the same thing. Nothing is going in. Why? Swapnamaya Manoratham. Angiras is saying there. So this is the problem. Now you can understand why difficult is spiritual life. Spiritual life is not a joke. If you think that spiritual life will all just happen like that, it won't happen. It has to happen when Shastram is saying to us that in the Bhagavatam, Krishna has not gone to the depth of explaining certain things. He has just touched and gone. Because Ekadasha Skandam is 1036 verses at the end, isn't it? This 1036 verses, what he has packaged into it, the depth of that, even Rishi is finding it difficult to understand that. Because as the Supreme Lord, Krishna out of Uddhava's request, when Uddhava told Krishna, after you leave this world, what has got this world has got any hope? What hope this world has got? Uddhava asked that question. It was then that Krishna said to Uddhava, come and sit down. I'll give you that understanding. And gave this Ekadasha Skandam in 1036 verses to Uddhava. Uddhava heard, Uddhava relished it so much, he went to Badrinath. With Krishna's grace, he realized the truth and he left from there. We are reading Ekadasham. And we have been talking about it last 10 or 12 years, Bhagavatam. And throughout this, so many things we have spoken. So many things. I've not forgotten many things what I have spoken, I remember. But when I keep hearing these questions coming back, I'm thinking, was it a good thing it's all on the web? What to do? What can you do? So, it has, at least it's staying in the web. But staying in the web doesn't help. A problem does not go away. Problem is this, that we are in the dream state. all the time. We think we are in the vacant state. We are not in the vacant state. We are in the dream state. Even when you think that you are in the vacant state, actually what's happening is 90% is dreaming going on inside about so many things. That's why so often you will notice, sometimes you can experience this also. Sometimes when you refer to some person, a Greek philosopher or something, this somebody was telling me this, he said, you mentioned about a Greek philosopher. One person who was sitting in the audience, he went home. While listening also, he wasn't listening properly. What he did was, he went home and something was working in his head, so he went and googled it. So, and he came out with some history from the Google results. He printed it out. Then he comes next day and he handed it over to the speaker and told him that here it is, the information about that person, he said. So the speaker took the paper and looked at it and told him, what do I have to do with it? He said, no, yesterday you talked about him in the class. He said, I didn't talk about him. Something in his mind triggered some information about somebody whom he was dreaming in the class, and he started thinking that he has definitely spoken about him. So he goes home, googles it, prints the print out and gives it to him. He says, what can I do? This is how we are. We are hearing, but nothing is happening. And the reason for that is the dream state. So this is the proof. Acharya Swamiji mentions this. Otherwise, he says here, if there is proper Shravanam is not easy. If proper Shravanam happens, this knowledge of the Vedantam or in the Ekadasha Skandam, it doesn't take very long to have its effect. If the proper Shravanam happens. But because the Shravanam is not proper, it is taking a very, very slow process. It's going on. And that is why the delay. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahadavagni nurvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam आनंदं बुद्धिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासवनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसंकीर्तनं नामनामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन कालं एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममाभि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणहरभीषुनीचेन तरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेना कृतनीय सदा हरिं न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदाद् भक्तिरहैलुगे त्वयि अयि नन्दननुजकिङ्करां पतितां मां विषमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूले सदृशम् विचिन्तया नयनं गलदश्रुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगैर्निजिनं गदावभू तव नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां पिनष्टु माम् अदर्शनामर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विदधा दुलं मल्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा
So, in the opinion of Sukadeva Goswami, Maitreya Maharshi and all those great rishis, what they are saying is that this person called Shrota or listener is more or less 80 to 90% he is in the dream state. He is in the dream state. Therefore, they say actual Shravanam is a very, very great austerity. Tapasa is the word. It's a great austerity, proper Shravanam. Because what has been spoken, in order to have its total impact inside, your mind should not work. Mind should not operate. Total alertness or total waking state. And that is called realization. Total waking state is called realization. Because there will be no thoughts and you will not be sleeping also. That's that state. There's no thought waves inside. Because generally we know only two things. Either that is the nature of the mind. Kashaya sthiti. Kashayam means that either you are experiencing thought waves or you will go to sleep. This is the two ways the mind oscillates, isn't it? The mind puts us into this state. So, suppose you are listening to somebody and the mind is active, as long as the mind can capture it, you will listen. If the mind can't capture it, it will become boring and you will fall to sleep. But real state is, when there is no thought waves and if you are not sleeping, that is the proper state to listen. There is no thought waves inside and you should not be sleeping either. Often what you will notice with people is that they will be trying to listen as much as they can. And inside the mind also is working continuously. And mind is trying to capture something, whatever he is saying, little bit here and there, it will get. If it's making some sense, you will listen a little bit more longer time. If it's not making any sense, gone. Gone from this world. This is our everybody, it's more or less the same situation. So that is why actual waking state is you can see the sleep, the dream, and realization. These three things. The sleep, the dream, and the realization. Waking state is realization. That means it is having an impact inside. It's not something coming in and going out. That means it has not impacted. That means that you are in the dream state. Is it not? Then the proof of somebody was in the dream state while listening is this. That he has heard and then it has not impacted on him. How do you know if it has impacted? Because everything what was spoken from Bhagavatam, if it has not helped you when you needed it, when something happened in life and distress came, at that time you should be able to take advantage of this knowledge of the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. It should help you at that time to give that clarity inside, but nothing there, blank. Why is that? Because of this dream state that has happened. So that means, from the waking state, minus the dream state, minus sleep, is called realization. So realization and waking state goes side by side. In the waking state, you will have, if you are in the proper waking state, you will definitely have realization. But if realization has not happened, instead only it was all in the dream state that you have heard that. So, so that is the important thing, that in the wakened state, if you take away the sleep as well as the dream, both things away from there, what remains there is called chitta. Remember that? Satya Chitta Anandam. The chittis that remains in the waking state, which is called realization. Now, different words are used in the Shastram. That should not confuse us. We have to see the substance behind it, what is being spoken. Like we have seen about Atma, when it is spoken in the Bhagavatam, how many terminologies they have used, terms. Pratyaka Atma, Sutra Atma, like this, lot of words, isn't it? All used referring to the same substance. Jiva Atma. Atma is one. But when according to the situation, it is addressed in different ways. It's addressed in different ways. So similarly, here also that if in the vacant state, if you succeed in taking out the dream from that, and if you succeed in taking away the sleep from that, that is the state of a yogi. A person who is in the yoga state. Remember what Krishna says about that? In the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, who is a yogi, he answers there. Is it not? And his state is this, that he does not have sleep, he does not have dreams. When these two things is taken away, in the vacant state, he is a yogi. He is the one who is a yogi. So, so there is no sleep, and there is no what they call as grahanam. Grahanam means that you are not anymore collecting information from the world. This collecting information from the world you do all the time, is it not? What we call it as knowledge in life, we glorify people. All he has done is gone and collected a lot of information from the world. More like an information center it has become inside. And we say that, oh, he is very knowledgeable. All that he has done is he has gone and collected a lot of information, which is all useless at the end. Is it not? As far as self-realization is concerned, that's all useless. That may help you in your vyavaharam and life in this world. But self-realization is concerned, all that you have collected information is all waste. It's a waste. So here, he is saying here that you are neither thinking nor sleeping at this stage, and you are absolutely awake. Only then you can say he is in the vacant state. Prabodham. So, Chitrakedu, when he met second time Angiras Maharshi, Angiras says to him that all that you are talking about now to me is like a Gandharva Nagaram. Gandharva's world. Gandharva's world it is, he says. You are telling me a child is born, and you are telling me the child died now, and due to that, you are suffering the distress from that. And he says to him, this is nothing but a dream. But now Chitrakedu was willing to listen. Previously he couldn't listen to this. The same thing Chitrakedu, Angiras was saying before also, what you are talking about, having a son, and having the happiness of that world, and all this. When I explained to you before, you couldn't listen to it. Now, he comes to him and says to him that this birth of the child and the death of that child, it has affected you, he says. It has affected you. But where has it affected? That's what question. Where did it affect? In your dream. It is in your dream, not in the vacant state. In your dream state, all these distresses come and bothering you. That's what he was saying to him. So, that is why he used that word, Sopnamaya Manoratham. Now you can see, in two lines, Angiras told what he has to say. Maitreya Maharshi also said that. That this happened, and Maitreya put it like, Maitreya Maharshi, Angiras Maharshi, they all know that, what they are talking about. It is us who are finding it difficult. When we hear that, because we are hearing in the dream state, all these things, it comes like a dream and goes. It doesn't have any impact. So that is what he is talking about here. That they were not, why did he say it's a dream? Because some time ago, that child didn't exist. And now, after some time, the child was born. And after a while, the child is gone. And you are telling me that you are suffering. Who is suffering? He asked him. Angiras asked this question. Because you yourself are a dream. Angiras says to Chitrakedu, you yourself are a dream. why this body itself is a dream. Exactly what Shubha Brahmarshi told Parikshit at the end, isn't it? Tamturajan Marishyedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi, he says. This Pashubuddhi, anyone who consider this as real and start identifying with it, as far as the rishis are concerned, sages are concerned, they are no better than animals. That's how they are. So strong words. Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi, animals' intelligence that is, to think that this is real. So to make that statement, you can imagine how pure and clear they are in their heads when they are talking about that. How clear and pure they are, it's where the knowledge is coming from. So that is why he's saying there. Then he says to him, like the way Shubha Brahmarshi told Parikshit at the end, you remember, in the 12th kind of 5th chapter, where Brahmavadesham was given. The same thing Chitraketu is giving the Brahmavadesham, Angiras is giving Brahmavadesham to Chitraketu. He says to him that is this all not a dream? That you yourself is a dream, he says. In other words, what he's saying is, your body is a dream. You are saying, we have talked about this many times before, body is not real. Body is not real. There is ample proof for that. We will keep on repeating this, what you have said. Who understands this body? How much do we know about our own body? Nothing. I have not seen my kidney. I have not seen my liver. I have not seen my heart. All I have seen is some, what do they call it? The scans. And they are telling me that this is your, so okay, that's a photograph, isn't it? Whatever that's been taken. What goes on inside me, do I know anything about it? Nothing. All I know, that when I am hungry, I have to fill something here. What goes on inside after that, do I have any idea when it is happening inside? When it gives me trouble and some problem happens, then I think about it. Otherwise, as long as the tongue is satisfied, I am satisfied. After that, what goes inside, it doesn't bother me. You see, this is how much I know about my own body. Similarly, when I am tired, when I feel body size, I must sleep. Whether I like it or not, body says to me, lie down. I have to lie down. I have no choice there. And immediately, eyes close, I go away. Where have I gone? And I'm saying, I know about my body. How much do I know about my body? As long as you go into the dream state and into the deep sleep, the body you have left long ago is going somewhere else. I keep on thinking it's my body, my body, my body. How much is it my body? What control do I have on this body? It is growing on its own. It's changing on its own. It's getting young. It's getting older. And old age comes. Disease is coming. It's having problems. And eventually everything goes. Body also goes. And I'm saying it's my body. So you can understand, when the rishis are saying something, you have to keep these things in the background to understand what they... Otherwise you will never understand what Sukadeva Goswami is saying, or what Maitreya Maharshi is saying, what Angiras is saying. They have a different language because they are coming from a different angle, everything. They are in a different level. They are not in the same level as completely identifying with the body, living in the world, arranging our pension and arranging our all other comforts of this life. That's all they have thrown away from there. For them, reality is only the self, not body. So that is the reason why he told them, Angiras told Chitraketu, that you are the so-called whom you think you are is not even real. Chitraketu is thinking the body himself, isn't it? So he's saying to Chitraketu, even you are not real. And then you are talking about the birth of your son, the death of your son, and things like that. So first thing he says to him, you give up this dream that you are a person. That's the first thing to do, that to give up this dream that you are this body, as a person, that you are this body. In that case, this world will come to an end. Otherwise, the world won't come to an end. So, in one of the talks, you can read this. Ravana Maharshi's discussions with one person. One lady came up to him that her husband died. And she was in terrible distress. as usual, this is the same thing. Then she was in terrible distress. She came up to him and started asking, Maharshi, what shall I do? Life has become like this. And because it was so intense, the distress, Maharshi didn't say anything to her. Just for a temporarily knowing well that Vedantam will not go into the head. So he said to her, well, this is how life is, isn't it, in the world. Everybody has to go through these miseries. Like this in a normal way, how we will console somebody. In the way he consoled her. After, because she stayed in the ashram, after a few days, when he sensed that the right time has come, then he told her the truth. He told her, the first thing, if you don't want to experience the distress in this world, you have to die first. Then you won't experience the distress. When he said you have to die, what he means is your ahankaram has to die. Who is experiencing happiness and distress? Not the self. Because there is no knowledge, we are always thinking, I am experiencing happiness. Who is experiencing that? If you ask that question, you will know it's your own false ego that is saying that I am experiencing happiness, I am experiencing distress. So, as long as that false ego is present inside, it will experience happiness and distress. So when Maharshi said, the best thing is that you die yourself first, before others die. Others are also concerned, it is their false ego what you are looking at. You are not seeing their self. You are not seeing your own self. So if your false ego dies, ahankaram goes away, in that situation you won't experience the distress of others. That was the answer. But he had to wait sufficient time till she comes to a listening situation. She was not ready to listen in the beginning. So that is why whenever spiritual instructions are given, if the ahankaram is very strong inside, it won't work. It won't have any effect. This is exactly in the Bhagavad Gita happened. Is it not? What happened in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see there that what Krishna is saying to him, that Krishna says to him, when Arjuna and Krishna started the conversation, Arjuna is preaching to Krishna first. You know that in the Bhagavad Gita. Sangaro naragayaiva, those verses. What will happen if I fight the war and kill all these people? How things are going to turn out? The after effects of that. Krishna is standing there and listening to this jabbering from Arjuna. So, after all that, Arjuna says to Krishna had to wait for some time till Arjuna says to him that Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prabhannam. Up to that point, he has to wait. Krishna had to wait. Prior, and Krishna also noticed this ego, ahankaram in Arjuna. That is what he told him. What did he say to him? Ashochyan anyashochastvam prajnavadamscha bhashase gadasuna gadasumscha nani shochandi pandita. That one verse was sufficient to kill Arjuna's ego. Arjuna's ego, very strong ego in Arjuna also. He says to him, Ashochyan anyashochastvam prajnavadam, prajnavadam it is called. Prajnavadam shabhashai. Prajnavadam means when you talk from your ego. Due to ego, if you posing yourself very knowledgeable, full of understanding the situation, and Arjuna is talking all what he has spoken in that first chapter, many, many verses. When Arjuna is saying, you know, how he is seeing the world. And Krishna is saying, Ashochyana Anyashochastvam Prajnavadam Shabhashase, if you are lamenting about something which is not worthwhile to lament about, why does Krishna say like that? Because if you are lamenting about your own body and about your own ahankaram, then that is called Ashochyana Anyashochastvam Prajnavadam Shabhashase. Therefore, he says, Krishna says to Arjuna, Gadasu na gadasumsha nani shochanti panditaha. That you are not a pandita, he says. You know how words get polluted over a period of time? The word pandita means in Shastram, and according to the direct in the dictionary also, pandita means one who has realization. One who does not lament about those who are living or for the dead. Not for the dead. One who does not lament about them. Wise who does not neither lament for the living nor for the dead. He is called a pandita. But what happened now? Now we are saying everybody is a pandit. If you have studied a lot of books and if you have got a lot of qualifications, people say, oh, he is a pandit. Like the word guru, how guru got polluted. Guru word, they say, oh, he is the guru for the computer or something. Some computer program is the guru, they say. Isn't it? Guru is not that. So, words over a period of time gets abused like this and it completely changes the meaning. So, pandita is another word like that. Pandita in the word, in the strict sense, is only one, as Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, gadasu na gadasumscha nani shochanti panditaha. One who does not lament neither for the living nor for the dead, he is a pandita. In other words, one who does not see anyone from the bodily platform, one who does not see body as, anymore as body as a real thing, he is the one who is a pandita. Not the one who has studied a lot of books or acquired a lot of qualifications. So, it was at that time when Krishna hit Arjuna's ego very strongly, Arjuna woke up. And very quickly Arjuna reacted also when he said that, Karpanya dosha bhakrda svabhava prachamitvam dharma sammuta chedaha. Then? Ichayase nishidan bruhi tanme shishyasteham shadimam tvam prabhanam. That was Arjuna's answer to that verse. Isn't it? Karpanyam. That word itself is very heavy word. Karpanyam. Karpanyam means that miser. Miser not in spending money. It is not from that view the word karpanyam is used. Karpanyam is used for this reason, that you have been given a life here for realizing the self. Instead, using this life for silly little happiness in this world, to get benefit from that and trying to enjoy that, that is karpanyam. That is called kripanada or karpanyam. So, once you have this karpanyam or kripanada in a person, Karpanya doshabam, karpanya dosham, that defect, as long as it's there, apakrita svabhavam prachamitvam dharma samota chedaha, then all your activities has no meaning after that. Echrayasan nishchidam bruhi tanme shishyasteham shadimam tvam pravenam. Arjuna understood as soon as Krishna mentioned that last word and about this karpanya svabhavam, and immediately Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, isn't it? And Arjuna says to Krishna, this is Arjuna's greatness. Arjuna's greatest quality is that when Krishna has spoken something, Arjuna was able to accept it. That open-heartedness. This didn't exist in Yudhishthira or in Bhima or in Nakula or in Sahadeva. This was the reason Krishna picked Arjuna for this. Arjuna's amazing quality that is, when something is pointed out that it is wrong, Arjuna was able to accept it without any resistance. Whereas Yudhishthira, when Krishna spoke to him, Yudhishthira spoke about dharma. Krishna didn't want to hear about dharma. Krishna wanted to talk about knowledge of the self, not about dharma. Whereas dharma, Yudhishthira gave value to the dharma, and therefore all the problems happened. So all there in the Mahabharata we will see when you talked about these things. So Prajnavadam, when it stopped, Prajnavadam Shabhashase, when Prajnavadam stopped, The instructions became everything perfect. And therefore, when the ego, false ego is very strong inside, these transcendental knowledge, spiritual instructions will not flow towards anybody. So that is another important thing to talk about here. Here, we'll see yesterday when we were talking about the similar situation now between Chitraketu and Angiras, between Krishna and Arjuna is happening now in Puranjana's story. Sri Narada Maharshi goes to see Prajina Brahis. Prajina Brahis is fully convinced that he is properly situated. And he felt, yesterday we said that, he is telling to Sri Narada Maharshi, I have performed so many sacrifices, everything is organized very well, as soon as I leave my body, I go to the heavenly planet. And I will enjoy there. He is so sure about that. It was at that time, Sri Narada Maharshi decided to make him realize where he stands. So that is why he told him that, I do not think that what you are thinking about your future is the same thing what's going to happen. When he said that, Prajina Brahis, because it is Narada Maharshi who has spoken this, for whom he had a tremendous respect, he had to take it seriously. It has shaken his mind. Who's Prajina Brahis' mind? So, a little fear developed inside. Why does he say like that? That things are not okay. Whole lifetime Prajina Brahis has performed so many sacrifices and thinking that everything is going to be good. What's going to happen in the future? That means he said, when my children come back, I'll hand over the administration to them of the kingdom, and I will take to this process of sacrifices. The whole karmagandam has eaten him. He has become a victim of the karmagandam in the Vedam. So, what now Narada Maharshi wanted to make it clear to him, that the karmagandam what he has executed so far in his life has not solved the problem. Problem is, unless and until Prajina Brahis realizes the self, he is going to suffer. Karmagandam is not going to help there. So therefore, to bring him from that karmagandam mood back to this process of knowledge, he decided to give him the instructions. That is what we talked about yesterday. So Narada Maharshi says to him that Sri Narada Maharshi has got certain little tricks with him. When he wants to do something, he will use it. He has been given that freedom, Siddhi, he has got that. He says to Prajina Brahis, touch me and look there, he said. Who? To Prajina Brahis. Sri Narada Maharshi says to Prajina Brahis, you can touch me and look there. What do you find there, he said. So, when he touched Sri Narada Maharshi and he looked there, he saw a long road, and in that road so many animals standing there. Horses with horns. Normally, horses doesn't have horns, isn't it? But there were horses with the horns standing there. And you can see that in the Bhagavatam, how he puts it. If you look into that verse, 25th chapter, 7th and 8th. Duhidhar dashottarashadam pitarmadaryashaskari shilam audarya gunopedam pauranjanya prajapate. Sapanjalavadi putran, pitruvamsha vivardhanan, dare samyojayamasa, duhidhar sadrashayarvarehi. He says to him that when, now at this point, Prajina Brahis is touching Sri Narada Maharshi and he is seeing this. He hasn't taken his hand away. At that time, Sri Narada Maharshi, in Prajina Brahis' ears, he told him that, can you see, what do you see there? He says, all these animals who are standing there, they've got all their horns covered with metal. And he says to him that they're waiting there. Narada Maharshi told Prajina Brahis, they're waiting for you to die. When you die, they want to get you and they want to take the revenge for what you have done to them. Because all these animals are the ones he has sacrificed in his Ashwamedham sacrifices, these horses. whom he has sacrificed, they are waiting there to take the revenge on you. So, Pashu Alabhanam. Alabhanam means that Alabhanam means that killing these animals in the sacrifice, and these are those animals are the ones whom you have killed, because Prajinamar, he said, mentioned before how many sacrifices he has mentioned, killed, isn't it? He has conducted so many sacrifices, and you could see that all is one after the other, the animal standing there ready to get him when he leaves his body. So they were talking to each other. Look at that, Prajinamar, he has killed us all in the sacrifice. Let him come. We will deal with him properly. These animals are talking to each other. And Narada Maharshi made Prajinamar to hear this from them, from the animals. So Narada Maharshi told him, do you know what is going to happen now to Prajinamar? Prajinamar, so they are waiting for you to come after death. And when he's, and their eyes were, fire comes from their eyes, and it appeared as though they were taking, willing to take that revenge on Prajinamar. And when they saw that, with their powerful hands and legs, they were waiting for Prajinamar. Says to him, what should I do now? It was only then Prajinamar opened his eyes that this is the result, what is going to happen. It was like a hypnotism for Prajinamar. Narada Maharshi has got all this capacity to do. Whatever he was saying to Prajinamar, in his ears, Sri Narada Maharshi was saying that, Prajinamar was experiencing that in his inside. So Narada Maharshi completely gave a shock to Prajinamar, and he started getting frightened that this is the situation. Then, like you know that when you have sometimes, when you take a mental patient to psychiatrist and all, sometimes they'll give you a shock treatment to give you some experience of a normalcy in there, to keep your that hyper feelings inside. So it was like a shock for him. For who? Prajinamar. It was a shock. This revelation from for Prajinamar, it was a shock. This revelation from Sri Narada Maharshi. That's why you'll see there, Tayaivam Ramamanasya, fifth verse. You see, you have to go back a little bit. In the 25th chapter, fifth verse, if you look, the king is saying, Prajinamar is saying to Narada Maharshi, Na janami mahabhaga param karmabha vidhadi bruhime vimalam yanam yanam uchyeya karmabhi. Prajinamar is saying, Na janami mahabhaga param karmabha vidhadi. What karmam will do to me, I do not know. He says, bruhime vimalam yanam, give me knowledge, give me pure knowledge, yena mucheya karma bhi, by which I can free myself from karma. Karmam, as we discussed so many times, karmam has its problems. Karmam creates kartrutva bhoktrutva inside, and both those things are very strong in Prajinabrahis. Prajinabrahis is expecting after death he will go to the heaven, enjoy there. That's the result he wants from that. And Prajinamar is also very sure that he has conducted so many sacrifices, that kartrutvam in him. So kartrutva bhoktrutvam, or doership and enjoyership, which is there in Prajinamar, he has spoken that to Sri Narada Maharshi, and Narada Maharshi also has recognized that. Now he himself is admitting that from karmam what happens is only bondage, nothing else, isn't it? So, if you want to come out of that karmam, the bondage of karmam, knowledge is necessary. Knowledge is necessary. And I have heard this somewhere, Prajinamar is saying, but it has not impacted him. He has also heard it. Prajinamar has heard it somewhere, that karmam will bind a person, and knowledge is necessary to free oneself from karmam. Prachini Brahmacharya has heard that before somewhere. There's no where he heard that. That's what he's saying. Na janami mahabhaga param karma abhavidhati bruhi me vimalam jnanam yanam uccheya karma bhi griheshu kuda dharmeshu putradhara dhanarthati navaram vindade moodho brahmyan samsara varpasu. So when you read that verses, you can understand that Prajina Brahmacharya is not anyway lacking in intelligence. He is intelligent person. He understands these things, that karma causes problem. Griheshu koda dharmeshu putradana dhanarthati navaram vindade moodho brahmyan samsara varpasu. If you get absorbed in this world to such an extent, with the home, family, this, that, and the thing, brahmyan samsara varpasu, it will only get you more into material existence, bondage in other words. He knows all these things. And he knows that knowledge is necessary to free from that. But he has been unfortunately stuck in this situation. So, but that knowledge, what he had heard before, has not gone inside. He has heard that. But inside, he is depending on karmakanda. You see, he had the understanding that it was wrong, but he still, his faith is in the karmakandam, not in the knowledge. This was his unfortunate situation. So, then he says to Srinarada Maharshi that this bondage I have created, how do I free myself from that? And it is at this stage, only when Prajina Brahmacharya is asked for accepting that he is wrong. That means Prajina Brahmacharya, when he saw these animals standing there ready to attack him, he became fearful and then he started thinking, and that these words came back in his mind. He started remembering that. So that is why he says to, like Arjuna said to Krishna, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Pravannam, and surrendered to Krishna asking for guidance and help. Similarly, here Prajina Brahmacharya is asking Srinarada Maharshi for guidance and help. That is how that flow in the story. So, when this happened, that gave me knowledge, help me. When Prajina Brahmacharya, you can see this, that even Sridharacharya Swamiji mentions that here, that in the 25th, 26th chapters, he's saying here that Prajedasu tapasyalsu talpitre narado ghrini prajina barhishe adhyalmam parochenaha panjabi puramjana katha vyajal panjavimshedu narada almano buddhi sangena vividhamaha samsratim. That is that. Almano buddhi sangena vividhamaha samsratim. Due to sangam of the buddhi with the world outside, what we talked about earlier, the same problem has happened to Prajina Brahmacharya. Prajina Brahmacharya, almano buddhi sangena vividhamaha samsratim. His material existence has started in that way, and therefore he is in trouble. And now when Srinarada Maharshi woke him up, shook him by showing those animals waiting there to attack him, immediately he came to his senses. And he is saying that, I agree. Similarly, just like Arjuna agreed, Eshrayasam nishchidam bruhidanme shishyasteham shadimam tvam prabannam. Similarly, here you can see when only a disciple who has taken 100% shelter at the lotus feet of his spiritual master, he alone can be instructed properly, and that alone will work. All other things will be too superficial. It won't have. If a spiritual master who is a realized soul and a disciple who has taken a complete shelter, like the way Prajina Brahmacharya has taken the shelter of Srinarada Maharshi, or Arjuna has taken the shelter of Krishna, or Parikshit who has taken the shelter of Shishuka Brahmarshi, or Vidura who has taken the shelter of Maitreya, only that way there will be any effect. Otherwise it won't be effect. It will be simply a formality. So, say for example, Srinarada Maharshi walked in. Prajini Varghese is sitting there. Prajini Varghese, Sridhara Maharshi says to Prajini Varghese, I'll give you some transcendental knowledge. It won't have any effect. It won't have any effect. So the person has to be ready for that. One who is receiving it and the person who has got it. If he gives it, the person who receives, when he is ready, it will have its effect. This you will see in the Bhagavatam throughout. Everywhere. In all situations, that's the way the transcendental knowledge works. So here, Prajina Varghese is saying, give me shelter. Give me the shelter of the knowledge of the self. And Prajina Varghese, when he started that, saying that, Sridharta Maharshi understood, now it will work. Very quickly it will happen. And that is why Arjuna's situation was similar, what we have seen before, and it's same thing here also. So, as we say before, this false ego inside would not allow the message to get in. And Narada Maharshi asked him, Prajina Varghese, I have no problem instructing you. Have you read about the process of knowledge? Knowledge of the self, how to cultivate that? He says, where should we start? Prajina Varghese asked, where should we start? But I have to know, where do you stand? How far do you understand? Because you can see in the conversation, Prajina Varghese also gave an impression to Narada Maharshi that I have also understand that knowledge is necessary. So Sri Narada Maharshi asked him, I would like to know where you stand in your process of knowledge, acquiring knowledge. How far have you advanced? So he says to him that, have you heard this Athado Brahma Jijnasa? The first one. And have you got everything what is expected for a person, what by that word Atha means? This Athato Brahma Jijnasa, we also use it freely, without fully understanding what that means, isn't it? That Atha, the first word itself, means a lot. That is why this Athato Brahma Jijnasa, you see, in the Brahma Sutra, which Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled, Rishis were so different, we can't even imagine the depth of their thoughts. When he word Atha, when this word Atha, normally when we say about Athato Brahma Jijnasa, we will say, oh, you have got a human body, this is the human body is meant for inquiring about the self. This is how we will say to people, look at this, Athato Brahma Jijnasa. Athato Brahma Jijnasa means that this is the time to inquire about the self, or for self-realization, in other words. But by that word Atha, what did Vedavyasa Maharshi mean? Have you got all that qualifications? What Vedavyasa Maharshi meant by that? This was the question Srinarada Maharshi asked Prajina Varghese. Prajina Varghese, haven't heard any of those things before. He says, there are few things which are implied in that word Atha. What is normally called Brahma Jijnasa is possible only for a person when these qualifications are there in a person. That is that four things what is spoken about in the Vedantam. Vedantam will say what they are. What are they? First thing is, they call it as Nityam Anitya Vastu Vivegam. One has to have such a strong conviction inside that only reality here is the Vastu inside Atma, nothing else. Everything else is unreal. World is unreal. All other body is unreal. That conviction has to be there. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivegam. Nitya means the soul. Anitya means everything else. That means Sat Asat. That clarity inside. Then, secondly, Iha Amutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. That means a person should have come to that state. He has no attraction for anything in this world. That means his mind is completely withdrawn from the world. How do they explain that? They explain it this way. Like, you see this, what do they call it, hogs. They eat stool, isn't it? when these hogs, how they eat stool, after eating that stool, then they have their stool comes out from the hog. When you see that, how much disgusted you feel about it. Already it has eaten the stool. Then it is discharging its own stool. When you see that stool, how you feel about it, disgusted. Suppose you are going to have prasadam and somebody tells you about that. You will close the whole plates and keep away from that for a moment. You can't even, if that some discussion happens about that. To such an extent, if you have got disgusted with this world, that is called vairagyam. Iha amutra bhala bhoga viragam. So all these are implied in that word atha. Otherwise it has no meaning. Iha mutra bhala bhoga viragam. What else? Shama dhamadi shal sambatti. Shamam dhamam tidiksha ubaradi shraddha samadhanam. The six qualifications of a disciple who is approaching a spiritual master. Control of the mind, control of the senses, complete tolerance, and freedom from this attraction to the world, uparadi, seriousness, shraddha in the shastram, and samadhanam inside, all the time in a shanti state, ready to receive the knowledge, without any chitavrti inside. So that is called shamadhamadi shamsambhati, and finally, above all, mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means intense desire to escape from here. Intense desire to escape from this world. These four things, which is called in the Shastram as Sadhana Chatushtayam. One who has got that, he is the one who is ready for Brahma Jijnyasa. That is why it's called Athato Brahma Jijnyasa. Now is the time to inquire about the truth. So, it is addressing that disciple who has these qualifications, that word Atha is used. In the Jnana Grandham, even Srimad Bhagavatam, all, whenever they refer to this Atha word, it is referring to that state a person is. If he has got all these things, and if you tell him to inquire about the truth, he will be able to inquire about the truth, not otherwise. Not otherwise. So, he asked, Narada Maharshi asked our man, our Prajina Barhis, have you got all these things? Prajina Barhis hasn't even heard about any of these things before. He was busy with his sacrifices all this time. Ashwamedham was going on. So he says to Prajina Barhis, he says to him, I don't even know what you are talking about. He said, Narada Maharshi says, all right, I know you don't understand. Let me tell you a story, he said. As soon as he said, I'll tell you a story, Prajina Barhis says, yeah. That's nice. We all say, like us, story, interesting. Philosophy, well, how does it help, you'll ask. I know the story, we say. Story, what story can do? So he says, as soon as this is said story, Srinarayana Maharshi said, because he understood Prajina Barhis' state is like that. He has to be taught through stories only. There's no other way. Somebody is in that state, you have to speak to them in the story form. He has to present the truth. So that is how Puranjana Vakhyanam or Puranjana story comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the background behind that. And he says to him that, when he said story, very good, he said. Let me listen to the story. So, after talking about all these animals who are ready to hit him after he leave his body, when suddenly he tells the story, I'm going to tell you a story now. You can see like the children, isn't it? When you tell them, I'll tell you a story, children will sit quiet. They're ready to listen. Similar, to Prajina Barhis is also ready to listen. Narada Maharshi says to him that, I'm going to talk to you about the story of another king like you, he said. Another king like you, I'm going to tell you this story. And his name is Puranjana. And that is why you see the Asil Puranjano Nama, 10th verse, 25th. Asil Puranjano Nama Raja Rajan Brhachrava Tasya Avijnana Nama Asil Sakha Vijnata Cheshtida. In two lines, Srinarada Maharshi covered a lot there, what he wanted to say to him. He says to him, his name is Puranjana, Raja Rajan Brhachravaha Tasya Avijnana Nama Asil Sakha Vijnata Cheshtida. He had a friend this Puranjana had a friend. But he didn't know his name. He had a close friend. The friend was very close, but he didn't know his name. And that is why, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is called Avijnata Namava. Avijnata Namava means we know him, but we don't know his name. And this Avijnata Namava is in all of us. Actually, this Avijnata Namava is the Antaryami, who is with us all the time, but whom we don't know. We don't know who he is. And that is why you will see the same thing in the Vishnu Sahasranama also. Avijnata Nama, Avijnana Saha Pramshu Vidhada Kridarakshana. Kridalakshana. It is another Krishna's name, Avijnata Namava. Out of thousand names of Vishnu, one of them is Avijnata Namava. And where is this Avijnata Namava comes? It comes from this. Antaryami, who is with us all the time as our friend and well-wisher, who controls our life, dictates to us what to do and what not to do, on whom we take the shelter, and who travels with us everywhere in all our dealings and all our transactions, who is present with us, and which means there is no other friend like Antaryami, who is with us, so close to us, all the time with us. Even while sleeping, he looks after this body. Is it not? While sleeping, food gets digested. Who runs that project? He runs the project. And similarly, make sure that this body is functioning properly, breathing. All, everything is managed by him. Without his presence, this would not happen. But, and he is so close to us as a friend, but we don't know him. Therefore, his name is Avijnata Nama. Say it. Tasya Avijnata Nama Asil Sakha Vijnata Cheshtida. We don't even know what all he is doing for us. To that extent, he is so close to us, but we don't know him. So, he says to him that, and that is in Vishnu Sahasranama also, you will see exactly the same. Avijnata Sahasramshu Vidhada Kritalakshana. That Avijnata Nama is his name, Krishna's name. So, Sahasramshana Kritalakshana. So, and we don't know about him. So, Puranjana Prajina Barahis, he says, I don't have a friend like that. I don't have a friend like by name Avijnata Namava, he says there. So, and but he goes with him everywhere, wherever Puranjana is going. Puranjanam, the word in the Srimad Bhagavatam, every name if you look, that name will have some serious meaning behind it, why they have chosen the word. Say for example, Dhruva Maharaj's father, his name is Uttanavada. Have you heard anyone with a name like that? Uttanavada. Uttanavada means, you know what that means? Who stands with legs upwards and head downwards. Uttanavada. Whose feet are upwards, head downwards. Why was such a name given to him? Every name in the Bhagavatam has got some relationship with his person, with the person who is. Reason being, this Uttanavada did not know what to do in life. He was living in a cloud cuckoo land, in other words. That he has no idea what was life for. He was satisfied with his family life and he will change his position according to the situation. Like he got practically under the control of Suriji and totally ignored Suniti and Dhruva Maharaj. All that, because of all this, that mentality behind that is Uttanavada. That no knowing what, how should one should act in this world. Therefore, he was given the name Uttanavada. Although in the Bhagavatam, the name is Uttanavada, but then normally you don't find a name like that to anybody. Uttanavada, isn't it? Gopis told about Akrura in the same way. He says, you're all saying he is Akrura, but there is nobody more Krura than him. Is it not? Gopi said about Akrura. So, like this, many, many words, when it comes to names in the Bhagavatam, they have some more importance to that than the normal way. So, Puram Janayadi Iti Puranjana. Puranjana means one who is busy in building houses. Here we've seen some people, whole lifetime, they'll keep changing their houses. They'll buy one house, live in there for a few years. Then they'll be looking for somewhere else, some other property. And they'll say, oh, the property prices are now right, we'll sell this. Make money from them, buy another bigger property. So this upsizing, downsizing is going on continuously in life. So many people do that, isn't it? making it bigger and then come back again, downsizing later. So all these things is this Puranjana's business. Puranjana does all these things. That means he will buy one house or build one house and live in that for some time. Then he will say, oh no, this is not good enough for me. I need another one, better one. And then first starts with a semi-detached and then detached and then bungalow or whatever, like this, and a big palace. In that way, desires inside. So Puranjana is that person. And similarly, he will go to big towns and cities like that and he will live there for some time. Then he says, this place is no good. I want to move away. Move to another town, another place to live. There are people's nature. They're not happy with the house where they live. They're not happy with the place where they live. So they keep moving, isn't it? So, in this way, he has built many, many houses and he has dismantled them also, broken them and moved on to other places and kept moving from one town to another. And when he was doing all these things, he was saying this, that this is not good. I am not feeling any happy in these houses. And he will find some fault with the house. He will say there's not enough sunshine, or it's not south facing, or what we say, same thing. We are not different than Puranjana. Puranjana, we are all Puranjana's people. That is why we can say this openly to anybody. There's no problem. All Puranjana was like us, looking for everything. Or either he will say there's not enough wind coming, or sunshine not there, or whatever that is. So some reason he will find out, and he will say, this is no good. Either he will repair the house, breaking it, building it, breaking it, building it, constantly busy. Some people are like that, isn't it? 24 hours, if they're not working in the office, they'll be doing something at the home. And you will see, what is keeping them so busy with the house? This is the same thing, either painting it or they have to do something in the house. And because you have to keep the property at the top level always to sell, so say, to move into the next one. So the whole life is busy in this way. What can you do? Puranjana. Puranjana's business. So when you see somebody like that, you can say, one another Puranjana is living there. So Puranams are not blind about all these things. They know everything, what we are like. So he's saying here that, and he has got people also to help him. And he says, that is why he says it. Look at the 13th verse, how Puranjana's house building going on. He says, sa ekada himavato dakshine shvatasanushu dadarshanavabhirdvarbhi puram lakshidalakshanam sa ekada himavato dakshine shvatasanushu dadarshanavabhirdvarbhi puram lakshidalakshanam. Says there that one occasion he moved around. He came to these Himalaya mountains and he crossed the Himalaya mountains to the south side, referring to Bharatavarsham. He came to the Bharatavarsham, crossing the Himalaya mountains, and he got there. When he got there, what did he see there? Lakshita Lakshanam Purim. Lakshita Lakshanam Puram, he says. He found that this place is nice to settle down. Finally, he decided after this long search and building houses. So, he saw a palace there standing, already built, ready to occupy. And he was amazed, he didn't have to build it. He had, by now he's fed up building these houses. But this house which was ready there, he looked at it, and it is called Navamukhi. Navamukhi means it's got 9 holes, 9 gates into that house. And he wanted to occupy there. He wanted to occupy that. What Bhagavatam is saying is, what is implied there is that we have changed so many bodies in this world, in different places. Sometimes in Africa, sometimes in America, sometimes in Europe, sometimes in Australia, wherever it may be. So many bodies we have changed and thrown away. And finally we got a body. What he says here is a body in south of Himalayas where he had got an opportunity. Another body he collected there. A different body he has got there. And he goes there. When he goes there, That is what this palace is talking about, Navamukhi, he says here. So he was already there, he got that, and that time he was attracted by that body there. He was very happy and he thought that it would be nice to have a body here. In other words, a house built here. Anyway, let me live here for some time, he says like that. I am not going to run around anymore changing the houses. And I am fed up of building these new houses as well. I want to permanently settle down here. So he looked at this body and he wanted to find out who owns this house with these 9 gates. That's what you will see there in the 20th verse, asking that question. That
yadrachaya gadam tatra dadarsha pramadottamam brittir dashabirayandi ekaika shatanayagai panjashirshahina guptam pratiharena sarvada anyeshamanarshabham apraudham kamarubinim.
This is the first time from that palace. He was looking at that palace. He wanted to find out that who owns his house. Suddenly, a very good-looking young princess walks out from that palace. No, she was not alone with so many servants along with her. 21st verse, he says,
Panja shirshahina guptam pratiharena sarvadam anyeshamanam rishabham apraudham kamarubinim.
That beautiful looking princess that comes from that palace, as soon as he saw her, he was in Maya. Who? Puranjana. Puranjana thought, whom did I see this morning? Everything, house ready, a beautiful wife is ready. If I can marry her and settle down in that house, how nice it will be my life. This is the first thought came to Puranjana's head. Puranjana said, today is my lottery. I had done it, made it, he said. She stood there looking at her. And she is walking in a very gracefully towards him, coming to her. Along, she has got a large snake with 5 hoods with her. So Puranjana thought, this is the troublesome. Why is this snake with her? So little bit he was frightened seeing her. She is very beautiful. Not only that, she is smiling at him. Can you imagine what Puranjana's state is at that time? So, he wanted to speak to her, but he was a little bit scared because of the snake, which was closer to her. It was at that time, when you get closer, he pulled back, seeing the snake along with her. But that princess told Puranjana, don't get frightened. After all, this is my pet. This 5-hooded snake is my pet, he says. And I keep this as a pet and looks after my house all the time. And he's very trustworthy friend as well. So, and she started patting the hoods of the snake, or the hoods of the snake. When she was standing like that and started speaking in this way, our Prajina Barhis goes closer to her and started asking her, who are you? And what's your name? And who are all the servants who are with you? And in this way he was, when he kept on asking like this, that this princess is looking at Puranjana. And when she looked at Puranjana, she could understand that he was a little bit nervous. At the same time, she could also sense that he wanted to marry her. She sensed that by looking at him. All the anxiety and all that disturbed mind and enthusiasm, which all he displayed, Puranjana displayed, seeing all that, this princess realized that he wants to marry her. So she says to him that, she gave a smile to him and says to him that, why do you want to know my name? where I come from, all this kind of information. Why are you bothered about all that? You want to marry me, don't you? You put the forward proposal straight away. And we could live together, don't can't we? Happily after that. So, this is exactly Puranjana. Puranjana said, name and all these things we can ask later. What I actually want, she's offering straight away, why not I take it? When we ask name and all that, that's just a formality, isn't it? Name I can find out later. Even if I don't get the name, we can call some other name and manage the business. But if she is willing to get married to me, that's the most important thing, and that is what is the underlying thought behind it. So when he said that, when she said this, Puranjana says to her, that's all right, I have no problem. That so, and obviously you can see this princess and Puranjana probably belongs to the new age. It's not come from the old age, the modern system. So anyway, she is very advanced anyway, and Puranjana also was quite advanced now, and she held his hand and took him into the palace. You will see that mentioned there also. That they both went inside, and here, normally in the marriage ceremonies, when you have the marriage, the bride stands there with the head down, shyness, and the man holds her hand and goes around the fire sacrifice, isn't it? But because Puranjana and this lady, because they are more advanced, she has taken the initiative to hold his hand and take him around everywhere. So that's what is happening. So at that time, Puranjana understood that she is pretty advanced in all these things. So that is where, then together the house entry, first time to the palace. They both enters into the house, and then the activities begin, which will start on Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.